When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Dog and Bastard. We're all here with John and Matt, chatting bollocks twice a week now, unless there's a medical relapse. This is Soma and Mona, quiet guy behind the bar, talking football, sometimes football, but it didn't get the
Oh, look who walked in. We're here now. So come and sit down. Welcome to Down the Dog with me, Matt Ford.
And me, a man very much considering my options, John Richardson.
What do you mean considering your options?
Well, I'm goading you, aren't I? I'm pulling at a little thread. I'm referencing the big talking point of the week. Sometimes the talking point is about another club and we fanny around first, and sometimes we get straight to the heart of what everybody's talking about. The guys at Boca Juniors are talking about it. What did you make of the statement by your beloved Nottinghamshire tree footballers?
Well, let's just have a bit of context, John. On Sunday, Nottingham Forest
played Everton. Your journalist voice as if it's factual news.
Two teams looking to avoid the drop. Nottingham Forest lost that game 2-0. You'd have seen that on Sky Sports' coverage of Super Sunday. Now, what Nottingham Forest is saying is that there are three penalty appeals in that game and that should at the very least have resulted in the referee going to the monitor. But the VAR did not send him there despite them all being clear penalties. The VAR is a man called Stuart Atwell who apparently supports Luton Town. Nottingham Forest put out a statement on social media following that game that reflected all those facts, and all hell has broken loose.
Our patience has been tested multiple times, Duck. We've had enough.
Is that a Greek accent, is it?
Well, I did wonder. The chain of command is always fascinating, isn't it? Because when it comes through Twitter, it is still the official feed. I don't think it's Marinakis hammered in the back of a cab, but there's been some. What do you think? Has he said, put this out?
I don't think you can put something like that out without someone senior being involved. So,
yes.
For those who haven't read it, this is what it said. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFFC will now consider its options. It's not a good way to go about your beeswax, is it? You just think, oh man, no. This isn't. We're not meant to be like that, don't we? We're cluffy. You know what I mean? We rise above. We don't start blaming match officials. That said, Ashley Young. Come on.
What did he? Did he tweet out a link to a song the next day? Did you see that?
Yeah, Cry Me a River by Justin. What's his flavour? I was going to say Trudeau. Yeah. Timberlake. I mean, the handball one is a stonewall penalty. His foul on Callum Hudson-Odoi, stonewall penalty. I mean, it's really hard to see how none of those three resulted in the ref having a look at it on the monitor.
Yeah, they're of ascending clarity, shall I say. The first one, I don't know if I can describe myself as a neutral because I'm not, but the first one, I can sort of see why it's not given. The handball, since they changed the rules, that's definitely a handball.
Yes.
You don't want to see it given, but I guarantee that if that happens 100 times in the Premier League this season, it will be a penalty probably 95 times.
99 times. This was the one and only.
This is the one and only.
This is the Chesney.
Luton conspiracy. The third one is a 100% penalty. Mm. And it, It's 1-0 at that point, I think.
Yeah.
It's very hard to stomach.
Foulage. But the thing that concerns me about the statement is that there's something really, what's the word I'm looking for? Impotent about
funny.
It. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Yeah. We will now consider its options. Like, what are you going to do? Okay, you can request the audio, but like, what are you going to do? Pull out of the Premier League, refuse to play games. Like, there are no options.
You're effectively doing that one game at a time.
What?
You are effectively pulling out of the Premier League one game at a time. Going about lovely. It sort of gradually.
Lovely work. Do you know what? The purring smugness of a man on the brink of promotion.
Well,
you would
not
be that
far.
Chirpy about this were you not on the brink of returning. And I think, and be honest, John, I think there is a part of you that actually relishes. I think you get a little more of a boner at the thought that you will get promoted and we will get relegated at the same time.
I will be very upset if we get promoted and you get relegated. No, that's not true. I will be delighted if we get promoted. It will be tainted somewhat if you get relegated. And if it's a choice between you and serial cheats Everton, who have cheated over a number of years and are going to get away with it, I would very much like to see Everton get relegated.
Thank you.
But you know... It suggests a sort of loser mentality, doesn't it? Because there's the tweet, but there's also like Nuno, who just looks like he's about to cry in every press conference now. And then you've got Nico Williams talking about it as well in his interview. And it suggests it's sort of infiltrated at every level. The players are thinking, oh, we don't get anything. The manager's saying, listen, lads, we don't get anything. And now the at boardroom level, it just thinks everybody seems to have given up.
Feels a bit Leedsy, doesn't it? It's the sort of thing Leeds or Millwall would do. Yeah. I mean, individual needle between us aside, it doesn't suit Forrest, does it? This isn't the sort of stuff you expect from Forrest.
Well, there's the truth of it is, do you know what it made me think? When you're in that situation, there is no way of handling it well, because we had the opposite. So when we were going down, we had Jesse Marsh, who seemed oblivious to the fact that we were shit and we were getting relegated. So you'd lose and he would sometimes sort of walk around the ground applauding and sort of fist bump. And then he'd come out and say, do you know what? There's such energy here and we're so close to getting it right. He talked like we were on the verge of the top six. And as a fan, you're like, you fucking moron. Yeah. And this is like the opposite end where they're saying it's really shit at the moment and we keep losing and we're not getting any decisions. And as a fan, you think, oh, don't say that. There's really no way of managing. If you're in the bottom five clubs towards the last few games of the Premier League, there's really nothing you can say to appease fans.
There's some very funny memes doing the round. So there's like a quote tweet of that one where they're saying we told them that the VAR is a Luton fan and it's of Tommy Robinson at Stockley Park. Have you seen that one?
No.
Okay, I'll forward you this one on. And I'll forward you, there was a really good one where someone's done like a second post from the Forest Twitter account and it's, from now on it's just me and the family, not trusting no one in this life. Don't want to talk about it down here, but watch out because there's plenty of snakes out there. Look after your own and that's it. Live, love and laugh is all I'm doing from now on. Oh, I love them. I think then people were turning on Collymore on social media the other night.
What's Collymore said?
I think he said he didn't think any of them were penalties.
Oh, okay.
And that saying that it's corruption is not a good look.
Well, that's true. That's the added element, the Luton thing. That's what you're going to get in trouble for because you are implying that a Premier League referee is cheating, basically.
Yeah,
I saw
good,
an interesting thing on Match of the Day 2 where they were saying the logic of that doesn't really follow because if you are a Luton fan, you probably want a draw or you want to reel Everton in.
Nah,
I didn't really buy that.
I don't agree with that at all. No, it's a shit fight between you and the next one up, isn't it?
Well, yes, exactly. Leeds and Ipswich. The madness of... If I were to go on a similar... If I were to... put together a statement for Leeds United to release, it would say something like, our patience has been tested multiple times by the moving of our fixtures at the last minute. And clearly the scheduler in the EFL is a Leicester fan. Because you get to this end of the season, it should just be everybody's Saturday at 3 o'clock. And we had a point where, you know, you stick the fixtures in your diary at the start of the season. It's basically a waste of fucking time now. And then last night's game got moved to the Monday night. QPR's got brought back to the Friday night. So we're now got two away games with only 3 days rest in between. By the time we've played, Ipswich will have two games in hand because they're not playing now for about a month. So they're all in Falaraki doing whatever they want. It's just, it does have a tangible effect on your season. You have to, as a club, spin it positively and say, if we beat QPR, we will be, I think, 4 points ahead of Ipswich, and they've got two away games coming up. So you know, then the pressure is on them because they have to win. There's an advantage to going first sometimes. But it is like, you can't be fucking around like this at the end of the season. It's not fair.
No. You were watching Leeds last night, weren't you, John? At the time of recording, it's the morning after Leeds beating Middlesbrough 4-3.
It is, yes. I went to the pub and I was very calm and I handled it all very well.
Yes.
Yes?
Can I just ask, because I didn't watch the game, early on...
Why not?
What was the score early on?
What were you doing?
What was I doing? I laid on the couch.
A crucial championship game.
Oh, no. I tell you what, I watched a bit of the snooker.
Researching the teams you're going to be playing next year.
I watched a bit of the snooker. And then, what did I watch? I watched a film with Russell Crowe in it.
Okay.
Called 3 Days Later or something. Russell.
I'm just seeing the one you forwarded on as if it's from the official Forest account. That was very funny indeed.
It's called Russell Crowe, The Next 3 Days.
Okay, are we getting an early film review in?
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yes.
Was it more dramatic than Leeds United 4, Middlesbrough 3?
Well, I don't know because I didn't watch it. So you need to tell us, because what was the score really? Because I'm going to read out some messages you put on the Down the Dog group. So is it fair to say Leeds were behind early?
Yes, we conceded early on. We had a lot of possession and pressure, and then I think we conceded... within 10 minutes, I think.
Right. And that was just 1-0, was it, when you were messaging us?
That was 1-0, yes.
Okay, because I was like, oh, they must be 3-0 down or something. Oh, he's shit. Can't finish. His big money move lined up and he's gone. Fucked. Is a fucking... Go next. I'll never express an opinion on anything ever again. If won the... I'm done. Now, the names were bleeped there to protect the guilty. Fair to say, you don't like...
I don't think is a very good defender. It's this thing we've had all season that we are a division lower than we aspire to be at. So there is a certain tolerance of players who...
John, you're talking in slightly hushed tones. Do you think they can hear you?
I feel really bad because let me be absolutely clear about this. I am a terrible football fan. I am the very, very worst of... the most irrational. So when that goal went in, there was no sense of, and landlord Danny was kind enough to message me to say there's a long way to go. I don't see us ever getting back into it. So when it goes 1-0, there's no sense of, oh, there's 80 minutes left, or, God, we could end up winning this 4-3 and it might be a great night. I instantly go to full doomsday scenario. We've absolutely fucked it. We're not going up. We're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. All the players we've got are going to be... I'm awful to sit next to. I'm awful to watch a game within the pub. I'm a terrible, terrible football fan. But I've never in my life been quite so clueless as last night. I mean, I literally sent that message naming a group of players that I singled out for my bile. Every one of them was instrumental in the next two goals. So I've never been, whatever the opposite of like a mystic is, I'm that. I am so clueless about what's going to happen in not just the next 5 minutes, but in the world in general. It's quite refreshing to just have it so clinically called out. There was no like, it was literally everybody I named then turned the game around for us and why we're now second again. So
I just want to know something, John. Is it that you really are, when it comes to football, basically thick? And I've seen enough evidence that you are. I'm happy to live in that world. Or is it that you say these things to protect yourself? That you rant and rave a bit and that it's your way of insulating yourself so that even if you lose, you are the sort of man that gets a pleasure from saying, well, I was right.
It's not that you get the pleasure from saying I was right, because had we lost that game, it'd be no pleasure whatsoever. So it's not like I'm going to say, oh, yeah, I knew we were going to lose that. It's more just insulating yourself against any hope and just saying, well, fine, it's fucked then. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to watch the rest with my pint and doesn't matter because in my head we've already lost. But it was an odd one in the sense last night as well that I'm on a few groups with Leeds United fans chat group. I mean, nobody enjoyed that game. Like, even at the end, there wasn't a single Leeds fan that I was speaking to in the period after that game that was like, do you know what? That was great fun, actually. Isn't the Championship bonkers? Everyone was exhausted and emotional and almost joyless about it. It was like, fuck me, I cannot handle this anymore. So there's two games left. Can we just... Every Leeds fan now, I think if you could cryogenically freeze them for the next week and just have it done with, would leap into that chamber and put the padlock on themselves.
Cryogenically freeze every Leeds fan forever. The rest of us would push you into those chambers.
Yeah, but then we're going to get out eventually.
Nah, is it? I mean, come on. At a time when the rest of us have long gone.
Where do you think the game will be in 100 years? It'll all be AI robots out in Riyadh playing football and we'll just come be on. Betting on our apps.
It'll be 1,000 years and loads of topless Yorkshiremen will be released into, you know, basically a barren wasteland. And I don't mean the outskirts of Leeds.
Oh, lovely. Lovely stuff. So listen.
I'm listening.
It's a good football chat, wasn't it? Do you want to talk about, do you want to do like the pub thing where we go, have you seen that in the paper this week? They're getting rid of, trying to make it feel like we're in the pub.
Okay.
Have you seen they're getting rid of FA Cup replays? People seem to have had a very strong reaction to it.
I'm pissed off with it.
You are?
Yeah.
Why?
I like FA Cup replays.
Okay.
That's the end of that.
Did you watch the Coventry game?
Yes, I did. I loved the Coventry game. Oh, my God. Did you see it, John?
I was driving, so I had it on the radio, and I'll admit I turned off when Manchester United went 3-0 up, and I listened to the Liverpool game.
Oh, dear.
And then when news got back that Coventry had got to 3-2, I switched back.
Glory Hunter.
Well, no, the opposite. I only want Manchester United to suffer.
No, it was the glory of Coventry, you see, because when the team you wanted to win was losing, you couldn't bear it. But when they started to score, you came back. That's the definition of glory hunter. You're a glory hunter.
Yeah, but that suggests that I was motivated by the joy of the people of Coventry, and nothing could be further from the truth. Could be Coventry, it could be anyone.
Is spite not its own form of glory?
Oh, here we go.
I know
someone's
you agree.
Been reading the Steinbeck.
I'm very much enjoying that. I'm sure we shall come on to that. But
we will come on to it. But yeah, it's one of them. I don't know whether I'd rather have just not listened and just found out that they won than have to listen to them winning on penalties and crowing about it. And I did think I really want Manchester City to lose the final, and I think Coventry would have got hammered in the final. So maybe it's better for the final.
But you want Man United to win the final?
I think at the moment, I hate Manchester City more than Manchester United.
No. No, John,
I think so.
No.
Yeah, I think I do.
Really don't.
Yeah, I think I do.
John, just think about this, please. As a Leeds fan, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's tricky. But, you know, obviously the ideal scenario is that nobody wins that final and that all the players are punished somehow. And
you
it
know,
rains.
Your approach to football is making life less happy for you.
What do you mean?
Well, you didn't watch England the other year because it was in Qatar and you really missed out.
Well, no, I didn't.
Out since Jude Bellingham.
But there's a tangible effect on my life of that. I wouldn't be X percent happier now with the memories of Jude Bellingham's performances in that tournament.
Yeah, you would.
It didn't make any difference. It was actually depressingly easy to not watch it. I thought it'd be really hard and it wasn't.
And now look at you, wanting Man United to win the FA Cup. Come on, as a Leeds man,
well,
you can't be.
There is an argument that if they win the FA Cup, Ten Hag stays on and they stay shit for longer.
No, but winning stuff isn't getting shit, is it? Winning stuff is being good.
Yeah, but, well,
less
I don't
winning
want,
equals less good.
I don't want Manchester City to win anything else. They won everything last year, so disband the club and fuck off.
Well, you know they're not going to win the Champions League, so that is out.
Yes, I enjoyed that this week. I watched that. That was good.
They may not win the Premier League.
Probably will, though, won't they?
Don't you feel sorry for Bernardo Silva missing a penalty?
No.
Oh, I did. I like Bernardo Silva.
Were you a bit... Yeah, well, fine. He's won everything. So it's not like they're taking his trophies away. Everyone who stayed at that club this season is a piece of shit.
They might take his trophies away, to be fair.
I hope they do, actually. And I hope they film it live. I hope I get to go, it'd be like the old Roger Cook, where they're just banging on the door, Mr. Grealish! And they go in, and he answers the door.
Come in, mate, yeah.
You bring got mates in, yeah, hello, mate.
One slider and one trainer on, and his boxer shorts on his head.
Bit out of order, weren't it? But like, we won it, so you can have it back now if you want. Yeah.
No, I don't want him to take it well. I want him to be upset.
Oh, Grealish should take it well. It's Pep.
And yeah, he would. He wouldn't even have them, would he? Oh, don't keep the trophies.
Yeah, give them to mate. He played with them for a bit. I don't know what he's done with them now, mate. Good luck finding them.
What were your feelings on Coventry versus Manchester United?
I deeply wanted Coventry to prevail. I kept watching it because I'm a great lover of the FA Cup as a tournament, John, including the replays.
Yes.
And I thought, you never know. So when they got one back, I thought, that's good. The fans got to celebrate Wembley. When they get a second back, you're like, okay, so it's game on. When they get the third one and they're on top, it was incredible. When they score the fourth in extra time with the last kick of extra time, you just think, well done me for sticking with what is now arguably the greatest FA Cup semi-final of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And VAR had to
again.
West Midlands faces in the dirt.
No statement from Coventry.
Well, it was different, wasn't it? Because he was offside. I mean,
I haven't seen it. Was it one of them? I think the offside rule is the one I hate the most, because I think the rule should be daylight, because the point of the offside rule is to stop strikers gaining an unfair mm-hmm. advantage. And I'm convinced that if they're level, even their ankles are level, you know, the trailing leg of the striker, that's just better play. And you've started your run earlier and you deserve to score a goal. These ones where they're completely level, but there's a fucking fingernail. I hate it.
He looked off to me.
Like off, or just leaning forward?
When they drew the lines, it looked a bit closer, but he looked off.
Okay.
So I felt for them. Obviously, you felt for them. And then you thought, well, here we go. In the penalties, they may have a chance. And Man United missed their first penalty. Thing. Oh, my word. Come on, Cov. But it weren't a B, but it was closer than... Do you know what? They should have won it. They were on top. Certainly after they'd got the equaliser, they were on top. And you just thought, extra time was theirs, really.
So I'm looking at it now, and he looks onside.
You're looking at the right one.
Fans convinced footage from Wembley stands shows Coventry's extra time strike was onside.
I think there's an argument that they accidentally painted over Wan-Bissaka's foot when they drew the line.
Oh my God, you're kidding me. But is it a credible argument?
But Coventry didn't seem to want to write a letter to the FA, so...
Oh, here we go.
Hey.
Who's piping up, Mr... Premier League.
I mean, it's not. Even if that's not offside.
It is. What picture are you looking at?
I'm looking on the Mirror website. Controversial Coventry offside decision could change next season amid VAR reforms. And I'm looking at the line. They're level. I mean, the laws are not going to change, are they? But that is not a striker cheating. If he gets ahead of the defender there, they're level. He started his run faster, he's on the front foot, and he's still got a defender and the keeper to beat. I mean, it's the old, what do you want to see in football? You want to see goals. That is a striker still with a lot to do, who, as far as I'm concerned, is level with the defender. But I don't know how you measured daylight. It was daylight for a bit, wasn't it? There was that one season, it feels like, where the rule was if there was daylight between the two defenders.
Well, was that 91?
I couldn't say.
Back in the good old days, mate, we was watching it. You know who I want to hear from? Rich Stew.
I don't know if he's in this week.
Is Rich Stew over there?
Yes.
Oh, Rich, I didn't see you. Sorry, Stew, I didn't see you at first. Have you had a good week?
Yes.
What have you been up to? Doing deals? Do you still do deals at your age?
Oh, is he old?
I thought he sounded old. It was the fact that he had a creme de menthe last time.
Yeah, that's because he's rich. That's what rich people drink, isn't it?
I don't know. It's champagne, isn't it?
My age is none of your business.
Ooh. May I ask, what is your business?
No. Little bit of this, little bit of that. Controlling people like you in various forms.
I accept that. Can I just ask, Stu, were you born into wealth, or is this an entirely self-made fortune?
Both. Oik. Father was wealthy, grandfather was wealthy. I was left very little, and I became wealthy. But what is wealth? Health is wealth,
well,
but also wealth is wealth. And I am fucking minted. It's why I drink Creme de Menthe.
May I ask, Rich Jew, do you have children?
No.
Why not?
Of course not. Filthy, stealing blackguards. Stephen Hendry update.
How was it?
So, lovely, lovely time. Judd Trump, lovely gentleman.
Okay.
Wish him all the best in the tournament, by which I mean I hope he goes on to win the tournament and assumes that he won it because he met me and I'm some sort of good luck charm and he invites me to all his other tournaments.
What happened? Did you win?
Well, the big wigs at World Snooker, the in conjunction with the suits at the BBC, somehow felt that it was too risky to allow boozed up bad boy of British comedy John Richardson to play a frame of snooker on the Crucible match tables on the eve of the tournament. In fact, boozed up bad boy, my reputation preceded me. I was not even allowed to carry my bottle of water across the carpet of the Crucible Theatre in case I spilled it. Hazel had to apologise to viewers the next morning, tuning in Saturday at 10, for the stain on the carpet because I had spilt my drink. Although I can reveal that Stephen Hendry was allowed to bring a beer on stage with him for the second half. But I guess that's the difference between being seven-time world champion Stephen Hendry and boozed-up bad boy of British comedy John Richardson.
But did the game take place at all?
The game did not. So what happened instead was a quiz. And I had a red ball question for 1 point, after which I could play a colour for, I think blue was general knowledge, black was snooker. There may have been another category. And I had 147 seconds to make a high break. And I don't know how you feel about that being the same.
No, I think, well, it's completely different, isn't it?
It is very different.
You must have been gutted.
I was a bit gutted, yeah. I was a little bit gutted. I scored 24 points in the quiz.
That's good.
It's not bad, is it?
Well done.
But it was lovely to sort of mooch about the Crucible the night before a tournament. There was a very funny moment when you sort of know at some point somebody's going to ask about whether the World Championship should stay at the Crucible, because it's a conversation that they have every day. I put his hand up and could not have sounded more Sheffield if he tried. It wasn't a meek snooker fan. I just wonder what you think about it. He put his hand up. He said, right, question for all four of you. What do you think about the rumours of the World Championship leaving the Crucible Theatre? And he might as well have said, if you say you don't want it to stay here, I'm going to come down there and slap all four of you with one swing. It was asked in a way that said there is one correct answer here.
And did Hendry or Trump dare say, we could have it elsewhere?
I don't think so. I think Trump, they've both got, their opinions are based on the fact that they've won the tournament there. Obviously, Hendry, it's the venue that defines his success and career. There's an amazing bit where you see in what they call the Champions Lounge, which is like the green room bit. They've got the board up, which lists every winner, and most names appear once. And then it just says 92 to 96, Stephen Hendry.
But you feel like it should have it multiple times, don't you? Like 92, 93, 94, 95. You should see the satisfaction of seeing his name.
Yeah, maybe.
Repeated.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right. But they'd have to go with a smaller font to fit it on the wall. They basically said they would like it to stay, but they don't think it's going to, because the Crucible is small.
Yes.
Did it smell?
The Crucible?
Mm.
Of what?
Well, that player came out yesterday, didn't he, and said it stinks.
Oh, yeah. Luca Brissell, was it? It was Hossein Vafai.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in a right stink, wasn't he? Thrashed by my best friend, Judd Trump. It doesn't stink. It smells like, if you're a comic, I think you perhaps have a better assessment of how bad a venue can smell. I mean, I'd go back to our days, Matthew, working on Stand Up for the Week at Coco in Camden.
Good God.
He'd have some stuff to say there. I tell you what, you play a shot there, you wouldn't be able to move.
The whole building. Smells there was of that, vomit and piss.
There was that walkway, wasn't there, from backstage to front of house. It was like very
sour,
specific. Yeah, it's like vomit
sour
from
stench
the
of old vomit and piss.
vomit from the 60s and aftershock from the 90s. Not cleaned. So I think it just, I think players that are coming through now that perhaps don't have a sense of the history of the Crucible and don't feel married to it will go out to these tournaments in the Middle East where brand new air-conditioned multi-purpose venues are built for them, where they get picked up in a stretch limo and delivered to the front door and there's posters of themselves everywhere. I think we'll probably have a different opinion and just think, well, let's do that all the time. But I think when you've been to the Crucible... Yeah.
Ronnie, though, isn't it? Ronnie's the one saying I'm up for going.
Yeah, well, Ronnie loves all that. Ronnie, I think, is done with snooker. And so therefore, you know, I have a complex relationship with Ronnie. He's clearly the most naturally gifted player there's ever been, but I wish he wouldn't talk.
I love him.
Do you?
Yeah, I love the way he plays snooker. I don't always agree with what he says, but I love him. He's complicated, isn't he? I love him.
He is complicated, and that's fine. But I don't know. I'm
so what about Judd Trump then? What's he like to chat to?
He was very nice. He sort of got stitched up because we recorded the podcast the night before the tournament, and Stephen Hendry in the sort of first part was saying, if you're a player, you need to just be in your hotel, you know, getting ready for the tournament. You shouldn't be out doing stuff the night before. And then Judd Trump was introduced. He was playing the next day. But his argument was, I'm just going to be sat watching or thinking about snooker. I might as well be out doing something.
And did you tell him about that thing you used to do?
What did I used to do?
The way you used to talk.
I used to say his name.
Yeah.
I think he sounds like a sort of bumbling cop from like an American Western. So I used to say his name. My name is Judd Trump. That's how I imagine.
Sit around the house all the time.
I used to say it a lot. Yeah. It was my equivalent of Crazy Old Maurice. And I used to say, my name is Judd Trump. But I didn't say that. I made a big faux pas. One of my biggest clangers, I would say, in front of a sports person, because he asked me backstage when we were waiting to be introduced, he said, have you been to the Crucible before? And I said, oh, I've been really lucky, actually. I've been a few times. And I listed a few of the times I've been. And then I said, I was here for Ronnie's seventh last year. Because obviously that is the standout moment, the confetti cannons, Ronnie equaling Stephen's record.
Yeah.
I forgot that the losing finalist in that game was Judd Trump. So instead of saying I was here for Ronnie's seventh, what I perhaps should have said is I was gutted. I was here last year and I was gutted that you didn't win, rather than I was here for the big old party last year.
And how did he take that?
I think we got introduced quite soon after and it sort of burst that tension. But I sat next to his brother and I said to him, do you got a brother who looks a bit like you? And he said, yeah. I said, I was sat up there next to him. I should point out, I wanted Judd to win that match. I really like him. And he lives in Bristol, which I used to. So just feel like we're kindred spirits. I openly asked the question of Stephen Hendry, how do you become friends with Mark Williams? That's one of my great goals in life, is to become friends and go out drinking with Mark Williams. I love Mark Williams.
And what's the answer?
He did not say.
What, he refused? He said no comment.
Well, there was a sort of, he sort of laughed as if he thought it was put as a joke, and he sort of laughed, and then there was an awkward silence. And I said, oh, I bet he's one of them who only hangs around with other people who've won the world championships, have they? Then we moved on. But all in all, it was a lovely evening.
I'm so pleased. I'm just gutted you didn't get to play snooker and humiliate yourself on the table, because a quiz, you got a better chance at. It's a leveller.
Yeah, and I'm a nerd, aren't I? So, and the red questions were, the category was me, so I did have an advantage.
Yeah. It's just not... I really wanted you to have played against him. One, as a friend, I wanted you to have that moment in your life. But also as a friend, I wanted you to have done badly.
Yeah, of course you did. Of course you did.
They're my two sort of guiding feelings on the whole thing.
Have you read... You haven't finished the Steinbeck then?
No, I'm doing the audiobook as are you. And I would say I'm halfway through it.
I've actually finished it twice because you've got to be very careful on Spotify. Are you on Audible?
Yeah.
Won't be a problem for you then. But to listeners, and if you're joining in with the Footballer Book Club, then The Winter of Our Discontent, the John Steinbeck novel, we'll discuss it next week. So you've got a week if you want to read it and send in your thoughts, or perhaps you've read it before and send in your thoughts. It has made me obsessed with Lukas Jukovic, and I am determined to at some point ask him what about that novel speaks to him, because it's made me think he must be a fascinating individual. And if you are listening on Spotify, just be aware that sometimes I think what maybe happens is that either it goes from track maybe two to what it thinks is the next number, which instead of 3 is 22 because it's 2 twos or something. Or maybe I listen to another album on shuffle and it carries shuffle forward. But I've had this twice now. I've been listening to an audiobook and it skipped to the last chapter and I don't realise. And I think, what the fuck's happened here? I don't know who this guy is at all. And then I listen to about 10 minutes of a chapter and realise I'm listening to the end of the book. So I heard the last chapter twice. We'll discuss it in greater depth next week. So if you want to join in with Football or Book Club, it's The Winter of Our Discontent by John Steinbeck.
It's really cool. We need to give people a certain amount of time. We can't just say we're going to do it in a week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, a week's enough to listen to the audiobook, I think. Oh, there might be people that have read it before, or people might get halfway through it and want to join in.
Fair point.
But some people might have already started.
I take it back.
I roll right back.
Yeah.
Do you want to do Dog of the Week?
Yes. So, Dog of the Week.
Dog of the Week. Woof, woof.
Okay. So, Ian has been in touch. He says, hello, not so Butch Cassidy and the Stoma Kid.
Nice.
Well done. He says, I want to nominate my dog to be Dog of the Week due to his similarity to Matt. He is a Staffordor. Mostly staffy, but with a bit of lab. And as a part devil dog, you would expect him to stroll about the park like Billy Big Balls. Unfortunately, when walking recently, he was bitten by a West Highland Terrier, which left him with what looked like a vagina in his side. I have been sure to tell other dogs not to fuck him in his side vagina. Oh my God. Not as impressive as a Stoma, but of a similar ilk. While I've got your attention, a couple of questions. Matt, can and do you fart anymore? Yes, I have no control over the Stoma and it will occasionally fart. He says, does your arse smell better now? Yes, my anus is now decommissioned, but it serves as a living reminder of the life I used to have. And whatever comes out of the Stoma smells, but the colostomy bags have a charcoal filter, which means that those stenches are kept from the public. I can see the bite.
Oh, I don't like the picture of the bite.
Oh, the bite. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's raw, isn't it? Angry.
Looks so painful, the poor little thing. Ian, then yes. He hasn't said what his dog's name is, though.
No.
He's just a dog of the week. You've got to tell us what his name is.
God, that's really upsetting, the picture of the wound.
We've got to do that for his dog. So he's a Staffordor, an unnamed Staffordor. We'll bring you the name on the next episode, who sadly was bitten by a West Highland Terrier. I mean, what has gone on there? Ian, I think we need a bit more detail on how your poor dog came to be attacked in such a way. But there's a lovely photo of him face down on a lino kitchen floor, looking very sad for himself.
Really gone out of fashion, hasn't it, lino?
I mean, it looks like lino. He's probably going to get in touch and tell me it's very expensive parquet flooring or something. But yeah, lino was basically just plastic sheeting that had a printed design on it that made it look like you had tiles when you didn't.
I don't think I saw a kitchen with anything but lino until I was at least 18.
No.
And then it's just gone, hasn't it?
These old days, John. Lino.
Yeah. FA Cup replays.
FA Cup replays.
Is the world getting better? Yes or no?
Let us know. Hello at Down the Dog.
And that's enough of that. That is all we've got time for this week.
Yes. So do get in touch. Email us. hello@downthedog.com. Don't forget to leave a 5-star written review. And don't forget, join us on Another Slice, where for just £3, I mean, that's half a pint. And that'd be a good deal. You get the Down the Dog lock-in, where you get another couple of episodes a month, outtakes, and so much more. See you next time. And don't fuck your Stoma.
Bye. Welcome to the Dog at Bastard. We're all here with John and Matt. Chatting bollocks twice a week now. Unless there's a medical relapse. There's a Stoma and Mona.